bless her husband, not just because he is her husband, but because he is a man of God. She believes in the calling and the anointing on his life, and she does everything she possibly can in order to see the fulfillment of God's will being done in the earth through her man of God. Amen? And that's a great big honor. It's wonderful when you have somebody not competing with you, but somebody helping to complete you, to fulfill God's will in the earth. You can't. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm a blessed man. Hallelujah. Let me tell you how 2018 has gone so far. You may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. Seated be. The Bible says this. It says that the farmer must be first partaker of the fruit, the labor, fruit of the labor that he has done. And then it goes on to others. And the context of that is, concerning the man or woman of God and the work that they're doing for the kingdom. And it's just a principle. The farmer first receives the benefit of the labor, and then it goes to everybody else. And so this year, 2018, we, by the Spirit of God, and I believe it was the Spirit of God, came into this year with the theme of crowning achievements and surpassing victories. Everybody who was here December the 31st, 2017, as we closed out 2017 to go across into 2018, you heard what was released. And many of us, when we crossed over, we gave our first seed of the year. And I know I did a seed, and it wasn't a large amount. It was just what I felt in my spirit to release and to give, to sow. And I believe God for triple. So I tripled the year. It's 2018, so I took the number 18, multiplied it by 3, and I came up with, oh, okay. We're kind of slow at math here, obviously, but that's okay. No, 54. And so that's what I put on my check for the year. TFT 54, and then on the memo section, triple for 2018. And so as the year goes on, my wife and I, we look to go and purchase a home. And it's not bragging on us, so please don't anybody run with that. Let me bring it on. Let me give you the word so you won't think that I'm just up here talking about myself. I want you to get prepared for what's coming your way, coming down the pike, if you will. Amen? I'm not speaking off just the top of my head. I'm speaking from my heart what I believe God is saying for this assembly, this body. And so some have really caught on, and they're experiencing things. One of the first things that happened, the first part of the year, maybe in February, something like that, Minister Kino, is he still in the building? Oh, he's down there serving. That's one of the blessings. We have servants in this house, and it speaks volumes everywhere we go. Servants were there to assist for Pastor Lucia and Sister Anastasia's, their father's homegoing service, and that spoke volumes. And so, you know, servanthood in this house is very strong, and it's very noticeable, and we thank God for that. So some of us wear many hats, if you will, and you come up that way in the kingdom. You know, you come up, you want to be useful for the master, fit for every good work. If all you want to do is come to church and sit down and listen to a sermon and go your way, you're missing the mark. You're also missing on a lot of fun in the kingdom. Hallelujah. So, Minister Kino's wearing some different hats. He leads the praise team. He's one of our head chefs, if you will, in preparing meals for things like that. And I don't know if he's teaching the children or what he may be doing right now. He's doing something. He's fooding. He's barbecuing. Some more barbecue. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to be out of here by 12, I believe. And if you would like to stay around to have some food, by all means do so. There's going to be plenty of it. Amen. Amen. Anyways. And so, you know, he's wearing a different hat now, so he's down there doing those things. But Sister Keanani is here, and I think it was in February, or maybe it was early March or something like that, that he shared that they were going to be homeowners very soon. And so in the month of March, is that when it took place? In the month of March, they became a homeowner. Amen? Praise God. Crowning achievements and surpassing victories. So we're not just, you know, rattling off. And for anybody and everybody who hasn't experienced, you know, the mighty move of God or God opening up a door or, you know, that job that you've been believing for or that raise or promotion that you've been believing for or, you know, whatever. If it hasn't happened, just as we've said before, just say, I'm next. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's coming my way. I'm in the right place. I'm in line. I'm in divine alignment. So it's coming. And don't get upset about those who get it first before you. Just rejoice. Amen. Amen. Just rejoice for them and rejoice with them because you're next. You're in line. And so Minister Kino had shared that. And anyways, it goes back to crowning achievements and surpassing victories. That's what the Lord declared for us for this year. And so triple 2018. Well, in the month of March, Pastor Lucy and I began to look for a home. We were renting a nice home. It was a 4-bedroom, 3 baths, and it was a very nice home. And we had a great landlord. So, you know, the situation was good, and you can easily get comfortable in that type of a situation because everything is going and, you know, all is taken care of, and you're just going on with life and taking care of ministry and everything else that comes up. And so anyways, about in March, we started looking. I think it was in March, or was it? It was February. I can talk. So it was February when we started looking, and everywhere we looked, it's like, man. And I know I had sold seed. I got too much stuff up here. I had sold seed a while back because we were believing God for this brand new home in this new development. And we drove by there after I'd sowed that seed, and there was a security guard there guarding the place, and we couldn't get in because I wanted to go on the grounds and speak over it. And so anyway, the security guard wouldn't let us in, so I told him, I said, well, just be in agreement with us. And so he says, okay, so be in agreement with us that we'll have the largest house that they build over here. And this is the honest to God truth, largest home over here. So as time went on, we were looking at places, and we look, and it's like, that's not it. And then we go over there to the place where they're building the new ones, and the way the people were behaving, it's like, man, something's just not right about this. You know, and I'm not the only one that's experienced that. And just stay with me because it's going to make sense. But it just didn't feel right. So we were looking elsewhere in Antioch. We even looked in Oakley. We even looked in Brentwood. And, you know, we saw something in Brentwood. We were getting ready to put an offer in, and then it's like, oh, they already accepted an offer, you know, and then we go somewhere else and she would like it and I wouldn't, or I would like it and she wouldn't. And it's just so fast forward. We come on this house that when I first saw the listing on the internet, I was like, man, that is weird. The picture that they had up there, and it's like, of all pictures, why would you put that if you're trying to sell a home? But anyways, we looked into it, and when we walked in the door, we were both like, nice. And so as we walked through and looked through, it got nicer. And so when we came out of there, we already knew that that was the place. We were both in agreement. And so the agent looked at us and said, okay, you want to go on down here to look at Park Ridge at the new places? And we'll, and it's like, no, we don't have to look any further. You know, this is the one. And so it just so happened that this one is on Triple Crown Court. God sees things. This is not, you know, oh, you're just getting all goofy and stuff and getting all. It's like, no, God sees, God hears, God watches. And he, Minister Patton was saying that God hastens or watches over his word to perform it, if you will. And so even as I wrote that on the check, God reminded me, I saw what you wrote. And, you know, he was in on that. And what was declared for the year, crowning achievements. Get this, triple crown court. Of all places that we would both walk in there and be at peace and say, this is the place. Not bragging or boasting in and of ourselves, but bragging on our God. Because this is over you. And this is to you. You hear me? We talked Wednesday night about the blessing out of Ephesians chapter 1 and how we are blessed with all spiritual blessings or every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. And so a person could think, well, you know, that's fine, heavenly blessings, but I need something here right now. Well, it's the spirit realm that's greater than the natural realm. It takes the spirit realm to give birth to the things that we see in the natural. Paul teaches us, yes, first came the earthly man, first came the natural man, then behind him came the Lord from heaven. But that's looking at it from a natural standpoint. But from the spiritual standpoint, everything came into existence out of the spirit realm. God is what? God is spirit. We who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not just a natural or formality of things. It's a living reality from within. Jesus said, the kingdom of God will be with you and will be in you. It doesn't come by occultation or by natural appearance. You can't go and look at a building and say, oh, there the kingdom of God is. Or, you know, even in the church, oh, there the kingdom of God is. It's the people and the ones who have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. That's where the kingdom is. It's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. So it is with those who have been born again, born of the Spirit. In the natural, you may not notice, but in the realm of the Spirit, where the change is produced, you start to see the impact of the kingdom. And so this year, 2018, 8 being a number of new beginnings for the people of God. If things haven't gone right for you, just start over. Praise God. Hallelujah. Begin again. Don't give up. Hallelujah. That's what's wrong with many. They give up. And it's like, no, we're not those who give up, and we're not those who draw back. We keep pressing on. The harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. We used to say that even in the world. Anybody remember that saying? Yeah, and without resistance, you won't get stronger. But with resistance, you get stronger. Yeah. God uses everything that works against you to work for you. You don't like the way you feel. Don't go by your feelings. Go by faith. This thing, too, has to work for my good. There's going to be a turnaround in this thing. The tables will turn, and I will see victory and glory. So, coming forward, you know, it's like the house came into fruition in March. March the 1st, he's here somewhere, maybe with mom. Minister Killings and Sister Shantavia named their son after me. Their first son, that's an honor. That's an honor. Their first son. I say first because I believe God will give them more if they so desire. But their first son is named Henry Aaron Killings II. That is a great honor. Most fathers want their son to be named Junior after them. But instead, they did this, and I believe God working in that. And so I was truly honored. March the 20th, our daughter Ariel named their son, her and her husband. Now, her husband is a little different than Preacher Man, but we'll get him all the way in. He wanted his name in there too. But I got the middle part. So his name is Enrique Aaron. You know, and it was just an honor to have them do something like that. They didn't have to. You know, he's one of those like George Foreman. You got George number one, George number two, George number three, George number four, George number five. You know, he kind of likes that. I'm not putting him down. That's my son-in-law. I love him. But the thing of it is, he's like that. But they still put my name on their son, and they will live like that for the rest of their lives here on this earth. That is a great honor. And so when Triple Crown Court came into existence, it's like, praise God, this is a great year. It must first hit the farmer first, and then it comes to the sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Hold on. Hold on. You have your Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, it's an exhortation to the man of God to be strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that grace is more than just the unmerited favor of God? It's primarily that, but that in that favor is power. The Apostle Paul said concerning his, not that he was comparing and competing with the other apostles, but he said, I outlabored every one of them. He says, I was one that was born out of due time. In other words, I was one that really shouldn't have been engaged in this because I tried to destroy the church. I was born at a time where, you know, it wasn't deemed appropriate, if you will, for what God had gave him. He said, I'm the least of all of these apostles, but I have outlabored all of them. And then he says, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. See, the grace of God is not just, I got favor. Yeah, you got favor, but you also got power and strength. You got ability. You got energy. You got dunamis on the inside of you to work to do the kingdom of God, doing kingdom business, if you will. So he says, the grace of God that was in me is what propelled him to outlabor all of those apostles who were called before him, who actually walked with the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here in the earth. Paul seen him in his glorified state. They saw him in his earthly state, and Paul even came to this conclusion. We once knew Christ according to the flesh, but now we know him no longer. Got a whole different revelation of who he is. He wasn't just a man. He was God incarnate, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercessions. He is the head of the body of Christ, and out of that, Paul reveals, he gives us the revelation of the church and her purpose. He teaches us about who Jesus is, and then he teaches us about who the church is, and that needs to be our measuring rod, if you will, or our measuring stick. I think that's just asking too much. No, let's measure it by the scriptures and not by our feelings or our darkened opinions. Because our lives are not our own. We've been bought with the price. And the Bible tells us, therefore, let us glorify God with these bodies. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glorify Jesus with your bodies. Yeah. So in this passage, he's saying, you know, the Bible got so excited it flipped pages. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast learned of me or heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Notice how the Holy Ghost inspired Paul to distribute or to be a dispensary of the hidden truths and revelations that come concerning God. The same commit thou to faithful men. Men who are going to be faithful, full of faith, but yet faithful and committed so that they can teach others also. because this thing is not to be kept to ourselves. I say it's a thing, but not to belittle it. It just using that analogy. But this is not just to be hoarded to ourselves, but it's to be given to others, because it's supposed to have the same effect, produce the same results in each and every one of God's children. It don't go over here and produce some kind of different effect and then go over here and produce some kind of different effect. It goes in and produces God's effect no matter where it goes. This is the only unity that we have truly, because if we look at ourselves and are honest with ourselves, everybody's got an opinion and people believe differently. But when we come to Jesus Christ, we believe unitedly, of one heart, one mind, one spirit, all speaking the same thing, all having the same mind. Call it brainwashing if you want to. I call it brain cleansing, because our minds are dirty, filled with the darkness of this present world that we live in. And we need the light. We need the illumination of God's word. So let's keep moving on. Thou, therefore, endure hardness. Hallelujah. In other words, get ready. Stuff's going to happen. Get ready to get buffeted. Get ready to get, you know, rejected. Get ready to get mistreated. Get ready to get stoned. Get ready to get persecuted. Get ready for people to talk bad about you. Get yourself ready as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're going to encounter things in the body, in the church. You're going to encounter things in life in and of itself, and you got to be ready for it. Yeah. Because that's not the end, and that's not what defines you. Christ defines you. Hallelujah. And he gives you the strength and the ability to endure and overcome it all. Hallelujah. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, when you read it over and over, to him who overcomes, 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 to him who overcomes. He said it to seven different churches, to him who overcomes. That's who you are. You're an overcomer. Hallelujah. And the way you respond, you don't seem like you think you're an overcomer, but you are anyways. Praise God. You ought to just be happy you're in the same boat. Bless God. Because some of us are going to walk in that overcoming power. And then some are just going to go through life mediocre style. But the thing of it is you are who God says you are. You're not anything different from who God says you are. Now, you're walking it out is another thing. We got to walk this out. We got to work this out. We got to be who we are in Christ Jesus and be glad about it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not enough to say one person is strong in the Lord. It's got to be everybody's strong in the Lord, Brother Joseph. Hallelujah. Everybody's walking in the power. Every believer is laying hands on the sick and watching the sick recover. Imagine going into a crisis, simply laying hands and praying and then leaving. Wait a minute. Ain't you going to stay here and talk to us? Ain't you going to be around a while? No, the job is done. But the job is done. Yeah. Oh, praise God. Some of you will catch up next week. What did that mean? Okay, here we go. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I'll say this, because he is addressing Timothy, who's a son in the faith, a minister of the gospel, and there's a higher standard for ministers. Higher level of responsibility, a higher level of accountability. There's a higher standard. There's certain things that some can get by with, but you'll not be able to get by with as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can't get bent out of shape. God may slap you upside the head spiritually and may simply stroke the other person who, you know, did something. It's like, why are you so easy on them and so hard on me? To whom much is given, much is required. You can't get away with stuff everybody else gets away with. Hallelujah. Be who you are in Christ Jesus and be thankful and grateful. No man that warreth, here we go with battlefield, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Here we go. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Amplified says it like this: it is the hardworking farmer who labors to produce who must be the first partaker of the fruits. And then he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Even in the midst of going through difficult things, there's rewards for you. And no matter what you go through, what you have to walk through, always remember this: God's coming through on your behalf. This ain't it. If you think you're meant to just go into some tragedy or some difficulty and that's the way life is just going to be for you all your days, you're serving the wrong God. Mm-mm. No, there's going to be some sunshine coming to you. There's going to be light. That burden is going to lift. That yoke is going to be destroyed. You're going to see breakthrough because God is the God of the breakthrough. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to park your life in misery. Get up and keep on walking. Hallelujah. Have the mindset of a soldier. I'm in this battle to win. I'm not just here just to be, you know, who wants to be on a losing team? Come on, talk to me. Nobody. And you don't want to go into the battle of life and just loss after loss, defeat after defeat after defeat. No, you want victory. And your God wants victory for you. So you get up and you keep on walking. You square your shoulders, if you will. You stand up, you dust yourself off, and you keep on walking. What about what people will think? Who cares? Now, I'll say this, and it's just a statement of fact. You know, the president's wife, Melania, wore a jacket, and it was something like, you know, I don't care. Do you? Something like that. And so, of course, she got all kind of ridicule and stuff like that. But she was doing a noble deed, but they just took it the wrong way. And you know what? She doesn't care. She doesn't care about how it looks to. She knows who she is and what she's about. Now, I'm speaking to believers now. Just because you go through something, forget about what other people may say and what people may think. This is between you and God. Get up, walk through this thing. Overcome this thing, no matter what it is. You may be in bondage. Some people are still in bondage to alcohol and drugs and stuff like that. And it's like, man, you don't know what freedom is. That's bondage over there. You think you're intoxicated, you feel like you're on top of the world, you'll make a mess of yourself. But to be free from all of that mess, I don't care if they do legalize it. To be free from all of that mess, oh, man, that's freedom. Hallelujah. And you enjoy your freedom in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So, but you don't park in the midst of a downfall, a pit, a trap, if you will. Joseph was in the pit, but they sold him into Egypt. And then he got thrown in jail. And then he got out of jail and became second in command of the land. What if God has all of that waiting for you? Yeah. I mean, it may not be a governor of a state or a mayor of a city, if you will, but some kind of sunshine is about to, you know, rain down on you because of what you have been dealing with. And God's working out character, and you can't complain. Remember what we said last week. Don't complain about it. What else was it? Couldn't have said it better. Put praise in the place of a complaint and then watch God move. Yeah, because this is who we are. So he says here in this verse, and again, I'm going to stop because I'm not keeping you very long. He said, the husbandman or the farmer that laboreth. Now, you can put yourself in this situation. You may not be a farmer, but whatever you do as a responsible individual, responsible child of God, you're going to have to work. You were wired to work. I mean, even if you're a homemaker, you still work. And so you're wired to work. And the person that labors ought to be first partaker of the fruit. So if all of your efforts are yielding nothing, don't get dismayed by that. Just make sure you're doing the right work. Amen? But don't be dismayed by that. Keep on going because you're going to be that first partaker. If you don't give up, Paul said it like this to the church of Galatia. Do not become weary in your well-doing, because you will reap in due season. If what? If you faint or give in or just give over to the misery or the bad place, you'll never get to the place of reaping. No, you don't give up. You keep pressing all the way through till you see this thing happen. Hallelujah. And God's going to honor your faith even through the process. We believe God for so much. Even this past weekend, yesterday, was believing God greatly for a move out there on A Street, 10th and A Street at the park. And from my understanding, Councilman, you're back there. You can let me know. There were only about 16 people or so that showed up, if that many, which included some of the city officials. It's a tragedy because the church has her head in the sand and stuff is going on and the landscape is changing. And it's not changing for the better. It's changing for the worse. And the church don't want to stand up and say anything about it. We're too busy with our head in the sand. Let somebody else do it. It's like, no, just like at that meeting, that city council meeting, the place should have been packed. The park should have been packed. They had more people last year. And the rallying together wasn't as important last year as it is this year. And so you had less. Now, you got churches that have 1,000-member congregation, and I'm not bad-mouthing or jealous of that. But the upsetting thing is none of them would come up there and even pray for their city, pray for the mayor, pray for the city council, pray for the churches in the area. Very few showed up. That's a shame. When the founders of this city changed the name of this city. They changed it. It had one name that honored, I think they were Mormons, that honored their name, Smith or Williams, I forget what the name is. And they changed the name of the city to Antioch. Why? Because they wanted Antioch to reflect the church that where they were first called Christians in Syria. And they prayed that the Spirit of Christ would come over this city and many lives would be saved. And here we got a generation that only maybe 12 people could come up and all of them weren't Christians to pray. That's the kind of labor that Jesus is talking about. Making such an impact on society that it turns the city upside down for Jesus. So what do? This coming Tuesday, there's another opportunity just to go and make a statement. They're going to be meeting at the city council place, and they're going to be going over the second reading about this marijuana initiative or whatever they call that thing, where they have now legalized it so that dispensaries can come here, so that they can have, harvest houses or whatever the names that they call it. In other words, that they can legally sell marijuana for pleasure. That's not a good thing for society. See, I did marijuana. And all I did it just to get high and trip. I didn't do it to get high and be productive. It didn't motivate me to do good things. It is not a good thing that they have done. And the church could have been there to put a stop to it. But we're too busy with other things. And we need to change that. One person at a time. Hallelujah. It's one person at a time. You let it get in you. And then you dispense it to others. One person at a time. Because if we don't do anything, it's only going to get progressively worse. They're slamming this athlete, and they're throwing him under the bus. They may not renew him. He may not be with the Warriors again. But what he really exposes is where they're going with their agenda. It may seem funny. It may seem out of touch. It may seem like, oh, man, nobody's going that route. But his name is Swaggy P, or they call him Swaggy P. And he said they ought to go ahead and legalize cocaine, and everybody ought to use cocaine. You think about it. If they can't stop the drug, they'll go ahead and legalize the drug. They did that with marijuana. They did that with alcohol. They've done it with cigarettes, tobacco. And they will do it if you let them. They will do it with heroin. How do you know that? Well, they already have places where people can go and shoot up. They can go into a building and shoot up. And the reason they have that place is so that they don't overdose. Because they will inject them with this anti-heroin, whatever you call it. They will inject them in order to save them from ODing. Why not just get them off of the junk altogether? So things are not getting better, they're getting worse. But I think Minister Patton was alluding to it as he was sharing. The darker it gets, it causes the light to shine brighter. And the reason the light is shining is so that people can see their way out of darkness and be reconciled to God. But if we don't speak up and speak out against this stuff that's happening, it's going to continue to escalate. Because you got a generation that's coming up that think everything is fine. They've done a great job in changing the family makeup. They've done a great job with same-sex marriage. Now, when I say great, I'm not applauding their works. I'm saying they were very successful at getting these things done to the point now that people don't want to say anything about it and just accept it as normal. It is not normal. It's not normal for a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman. There are only two genders in all creation, male and female, no matter what they say, but they put the pressure on. Even the church won't say anything. I'm not saying this because of this, but an individual asked one of our members, you know, is your pastor talking about transgender junk? You already know my position on all of that mess. It's wrong. No matter how right they may say it is, it's wrong. And we're doing a disservice to the people that are trapped in that sin. They are passing laws now that preachers, counselors can no longer count. And they've been saying this for a while. It's not new. But you can't counsel them or try and get them delivered from that lesbian, homosexual spirit. Or transgender spirit. They don't want you to mess with them. Leave them alone. They're okay. They're not okay. They may be okay in the eyesight of God, but they're going to bust hell wide open. You mean God won't show them compassion? Listen, the blind will lead the blind, and guess where they're all going to fall? Into the ditch. And for many of us, the blood will be on our hands because we never said anything to them. Yeah. So how we got there? In the process of this, Jesus says this. No person, no man who has given up everything, I'll just summarize it, in this life, is not a single person who has given up everything for my sake and the gospel, who will not reap 100 times over what he has given up. Now, in this time, with persecution. So, beloved, you can stand up for truth, and you can be blessed, and they can talk about you, and they can mock you, and they can say all manner of evil concerning you. But you keep on being the light, you keep on speaking the truth, and you let God bless you. And when they try and talk about you and say this and that, and, you know, you ain't supposed to have this or you're not supposed to have that, just say, look at what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. He did this and not me. Glory. Because God wants to bless you. Stand to your feet. He wants to bless you. But it comes to the husbandman first, that laborer, that farmer, if you will. And then it goes to those that are connected. So every time you walk out of this building, I try to make it a point to pray over you, the power of the blessing. Not out of religion, but out of true relationship. Because God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and it takes that in order to make things happen in the natural. We see it in Abraham. We see it in Isaac. We see it in Jacob. What was it? It was the spiritual inheritance that they inherited that brought about the prosperity that they experienced. You need the spiritual blessing because that will produce the natural, material blessing in Jesus' name. How will people know that God is good? By what they see manifested in your life. And if you think God's going to bless you to go out there and live like the devil, you're serving the wrong God. Live as his sons and daughters. And don't be afraid of rejection. Don't be afraid of persecution. Don't be afraid of what they may say or what they may do. Glorify Jesus with everything you have within you. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you and give you praise. We ask your blessing upon the word that has been spoken and upon your sons and daughters. And right now, Master, I lift my hands over them and I speak your Aaronic blessing that the Lord our God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell. Because you're the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord bless you and bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, guide you with this eye in Jesus' name. Everybody who greets said amen. All right, we love you very dearly. Please join us down in the MP room for more celebration. Amen. Grace to you.